tonight for
You're good?
Yep.
I don't know it.
All right, perfect. So it is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, October 25th, 2016. We'll call Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with the roll call. Wheeler, absent. Hanson?
Present.
Dart?
Here.
Karnowski is here. Retlef?
Here.
Rapp?
Here.
Kowalczyk Adrian is in the Park and Rec Committee meeting, and we probably will expect her to join us if they get out early, I imagine. So we'll just proceed. Moving on to item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. If there's any questions or changes that are requested, please voice them now. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the agenda is going to be as it is written. Item number three, approval of the minutes from September 7th, 2016. If there are not any changes, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
It's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Minutes approved. Kowalczyk Adrian has entered the building.
I was actually in the building.
The room. Oh, entered the room. Okay, perfect. Moving on to item number four, minutes from September 26, 2016. If there are any changes, please make them known, or we'll entertain a motion.
Okay.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes carry.
I should probably abstain since I wasn't present.
You don't have to.
Don't have to?
Yeah, okay. We found that out.
Okay.
You're good.
Good.
Moving on to item number five, announcements. Are there any announcements from Brad and Trevor or Plan Commission members?
Yes, just in case you didn't get the email, the bridge opening celebration will be this Saturday, start at 11 o'clock. We've got the high school band, I believe they're called the Traffic Jam, that's going to play from 11 till noon.
Traffic Jam, that's fitting.
Pretty fitting. The official ribbon cutting will take place at noon, and then followed with the Cougars playing from about 15, 12:30 till 3. They're going to actually be inside the greenhouse and traders and be balancing climate weather. We'll have booyah, rocks, and other stuff going on. Feel free to come.
Nora has joined us for the purpose of the minutes.
Oh, one other just a friendly reminder that if you do want to do early voting, you can come to the Village Hall Monday through Thursday, or Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 4. I believe as of last week, we had over 1,200 already come in and cast their vote. So it's open, and I'm not standing too long behind.
I just have a few things. The first one, we do have a CSM. It just came through. There's typically 30 days to review these from Brown County. We got these, so the 30 days will be up before our next Plan Commission's meeting. So no action is required from the Plan Commission, but just to give you, just to bring it to your attention, this is off on Webster and Bryan Street. The only comment we had so far, staff, was they spelled street wrong on West Bryan Street. But I give you a point of reference. This is the property that has the big goalpost on Webster. So they've owned that back parcel with the garage there for a number of years, but it's been two separate parcels. So they're just combining the two parcels. So just to bring that to your attention. The other one, there's two housekeeping things. One, Wes pointed out earlier, we got a response from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities that if you haven't attended a meeting, you can still vote on the minutes. Obviously, you can abstain if you wish, but you're perfectly capable of voting on the minutes. And the second one, generally, the Planning Commission is, or you guys have been pretty good at telling me ahead of time if you're going to be at the meeting or not. But if you could just hit yes or no to Debbie's meeting response, and that way we can let the alternates know if they're needed or not. That's it.
Sounds good. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll move on to item number 6, public appearances. If there's anybody from the public that wants to address the commission, you certainly can come up and state your name and address. Or if you're here for an agenda item, we'll also allow for comments to be made at the time of the agenda item.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I would like to see us to follow the CRAFE recommendations that are included in, that were adopted into the comprehensive plan for more mixed-use zoning in our commercial districts, especially along the nodes on Riverside Drive on the riverfront. A little later on today, the plan to rezone the Webster Avenue from commercial to residential is, I agree with that because it creates what's known as nodes instead of simply a long commercial strip area. So Alloy developed along nodes along the trolley lines on Riverside Drive, and also the trolley zones, the trolley was on Webster Avenue, and there were nodes along Webster Avenue at the trolley stops, and then Riverside Drive had similar types of nodes, but there was no trolley there. And I'd like to see a nice balanced combination of commercial and residential properties without getting into a strip zoning type of scenario. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Okay. If there's no one else, we'll move on to item number 7. Action regarding rezoning parcel number AL-1592, located at 1525 South Webster Avenue, legally described as Math Rainans, if I said that right, flat lots 7-8-13 and 14, EXS, 50 foot of lots 8 and 13, and excluding railroad, also E9, 9 foot of lot 11 from commercial to B residential. I didn't murder that too bad. If there's someone here from the audience that would like to come up and just state your name and address.
Jim.
And we can.
Hi, my name is Kevin Service. I had the pleasure of meeting with these two gentlemen, and they gave me a list of how I should inquire as to if there's a possibility that I could look to rezone the property that I've acquired. I don't know if any of you know it, but several years ago I used to own Panache Salon, the Pedal Pusher building, and the two properties adjacent to it. And I think if anybody in the community has shown that they could keep, you know, character and integrity in keeping up the property, I did. I no longer own it. I lost it to a bankruptcy. It was a personal disaster, but it happened. It did. Anyway, a gentleman, a friend of mine, asked me to find a property so I wasn't homeless 7 years ago. I picked up the house on Webster that I'm in now. It's on where the bridge is being built. I'm on the railroad abutment there. The issue with that I'm running into now, I paid off the trust. I own the house free and clear. I'm getting the deed transfer. I had to make home improvements on it, and I borrowed that from a private equity partner. Now, I went to the bank, and they're telling me that because the house is owned commercial or business, that I can't get a home equity loan. I can only get a business loan, which is only the interest rate of 8-9% per year. It's not capped. It's kept at that. I also want to thank you for your item on that, the request. I think the concern of mine is I'd like to have a little bit more flexibility of looking at using my property in a nice way. Charlie Schrader owns two properties adjoining me. We have a small parcel. I can see where, you know, you look at a common corridor you know, business or keeping some relevance to it, so there's continuity. However, one of the things I liked and enjoyed about Alloway is the essence that it gives you, being a little bit of a residential community. I liked what they did down in CBS and the banks that were built. I think that really complements the area, and it's a contribution to the area in terms of what it offers for the business, you know, services in the area too. With my property, I'm looking to keep it basically residential. I'm looking at that eliminating a hardship that if I were to ever liquidate it down the road, that I could get a return on my investment. Right now, I've been there 7 years, and I look to remain there for now. If I were to sell it, I'm only able to probably sell it to someone that has a business use for it, because you'd either have to be a cash buyer or get a commercial loan to buy the property, which I never thought of when the person asked me to find a property in the trust. But that's a decision I made at the time. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that this would be an occurrence. I guess if I were looking at making it appear as though it's a spot zoning issue, I could see where that would be taken into consideration because of the fact that it might open up conversations for other properties that you might want, not want to welcome that. But my parcel is probably too small. It's landlocked. With Charlie's other two properties, from Traders, he's not going to use those for any business. I don't see that even the three of us combined to sell it. I don't know what could go in there size-wise. The other item, I'm trying to think of another point I just want to make with this. Also in conversation with Trevor, he brought up a good point too about another challenge would be that even if I were to look at inquiring to do this, normally they want a lot to be like 70 feet to qualify as a residential lot, minimum. Well, it was either that or close to that. It was grandfathered being what it was. The county has it listed as residential. The village has it listed as business. What was the point I was going to make on it? Oh, when the railroad did the bridge, they took a portion of the property, which made it now non-conforming because they took X amount of frontage up in the corner of the lot. So those were circumstances really not in my control, but they happened. I'm trying to live in a solution, not being angry with the problem. So I guess I'm just looking for you to be open-minded, that you could look at all avenues of this, or maybe engage more questions. I could try and get more information. But again, I see your point as, you know, being governance of a village, you have to be in consideration of keeping things consistent, whatever. The house I bought has a lot of character. I think it looks historical. I'm trying to do what I can do to keep it that way, charming. I don't know what else you want to know other than, you know, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer anybody. And I know I'm not looking for a decision tonight. I guess I'm just looking for if it creates a conversation about it, how it, I'm not looking for it to change policy. I'm just looking to present where I'm at. And having been a longtime resident of the village and having paid a hell of a lot of property taxes over a long period of time on several properties, I'm not looking for exceptional treatment, just consideration if I would be a viable long-term tenant and, you know, having equity in my property. It's my life savings at this point. But whatever. So, any other questions of me before I go?
Was that property a castle store at one time?
Yes, apparently, because there's still mail that comes there. When okay. I bought it, it was in when the trust bought it, it was in a foreclosure. And apparently, the house could be used that way. They did some ADA compliance stuff, and I've got it strictly residential. You know, I'm a hairstylist, and everybody says, "Why don't you open a salon?" And the hell no. I don't want a business in my home. I want to go home and have my own space residentially. I bought it because to me it was charming and private. I liked the quietness of the lot, you know. So I don't know what to say at this time. I have no interest, and I think it would have more value down the road to keep it a two-family and let someone buy it that way or convert it back to one. That parcel, I don't see where you could really use it that way.
As I recall, the driveway was narrow and
yes,
small. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, sorry, how we kind of evaluate this area is not really on a parcel by parcel basis when you, when it comes to that kind of shape of a parcel, more of a parcel aggregation for commercial development. At least that's what I'm considering when you see this.
Well, like I said, I get it. You got to look at the long range plan and not opening a door that other people are going to come in and then use that to change. But like this gentleman too, I think one of the things to keep in mind within reason, what he's asking for, you know, being open-minded, I agree with him. That is one of the things, honestly, that makes Alloway so attractive, because it isn't prostituted with strip malls and crappy things like that. And yet, there's a healthy mix of business and residential. So.
And there's nothing precluding you from living in this space now. It is your fear of when you go to sell it.
Well, my fear, what I know is, unless a buyer comes in and they have cash, they're not going to be able to get a loan, which I never thought of that when I bought it. I was, you know, but that isn't the issue here, really. My personal stuff with the finances and all that is second. The village has to also look at their policy. I understand that. And that would be the fair decision, even as me as a taxpayer. I understand that. But I don't think that individual parcel, Charlie doesn't have a problem. Otherwise, I think he'd be here. He likes me a lot as a tenant. You know what I mean? As my owner now, mine. Because I take care of it. I take pride in it. But that's where I'm at.
Right. So
with that, I'm done. And I understand, you know, it's got to just be discussed or looked at or whatever. Okay?
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. You have to stay for anything?
We're gonna have a discussion, so you can certainly it's open to discuss. So, so in looking at this, a couple of things that even if we went forward and if we were to approve it, let's say, I'm not going to speak for the entire Board of Appeals, but I'm not 100% sure that it would meet the standards in order to grant a variance. Given that the owner is not precluded from living in this space right now, it really comes down to just a, and it's not a small thing, but a private financial gain on sale.
We currently don't have a mixed-use zoning code.
Not currently, no.
I know it's been discussed. We've looked at it. We've talked about it. But we currently don't have one.
Right. The closest thing we have to it would be the professional office district. There's some language in there that after we do the recodification, we'll clear up the language so that we'll allow for some mixed-use development. But currently, no.
Has the Economic Development Committee been consulted on the viability of this property as a commercial or residential?
Yeah, no.
Is there any way that the village administration could work with the lender to aid the owner in making the repairs that he needs, getting the lending, or is it possible for there to be some sort of community block grant application so that he could get a reasonable interest rate?
I know the village has passed along the information of the community block grant to Mr. Service. I'm not sure if he's followed up at all or not.
Trevor, I want to say that Trevor went out of his way to talk to me, you know, and work with me. I did inquire about that, and what they said was, because I did the roof already, you know, that they can help me. And then with the windows, I already had them bought by the time I contacted them, and I'm waiting to install them right now.
you know, so it's just unfortunate, but they have a lot of restrictions on that too, to make sure that they have lead in them and all this stuff. It's very complicated. You know, the bigger thing I think you guys have to look at too is someone who's in a residential neighborhood and they want to make it business, that's a cluster. If it's already business and someone wants to use it to live in as a residence, you can always change it back easier. You know, you're not, I don't think you're upsetting neighbors as much either. If you have a, you know, a neighborhood with homes and people are going to run a business in it and all of a sudden disrupts the whole, how do you draw a line on that? I understand that. Mine's been used basically for how many years is this anyway, so insurance.
What's the status of the two parcels that are on Kalb Street, marked in the aerial photograph 10 and 11?
That's a good point.
Roger.
The two parcels marked 10 and 11.
Those are both currently zoned a residential. One is owned by Charles Schrader, and the other is owned by another individual.
Are they conforming?
You know, I believe they might be a multi-family dwelling.
Again, referring to the zoning map, there are four parcels over the railroad area.
Correct.
Are those, is that residential?
How our zoning map currently shows is if there's no real zoning, if, like for the roads and everything, it just kind of defaults that way.
To the most restrictive zoning?
Right.
There's a white house on the corner of Calvin, Webster Street. Do we know what that's owned?
That's only residential. I believe it might be multifamily use.
It's a two-story, and it looks pretty big.
Is that the big one Charlie owns?
Yeah,
that was his personal residence, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a one family.
Okay.
Do they use it as residential? I know they always put gardening stuff over there.
No, he just moved out there a year ago, and now he has some of the migrants that he has come live there.
Okay.
Then there's another little one right next door to me. You know, there it is, the big one.
That's it.
Then there's a tiny one next door to that, which is my neighbor. And that one is only residential as well. So there's only the three houses there. That's what I was saying.
And then he hit the railroad.
Yeah. I'm on the embankment there.
That's it. Is there a garage there?
Yes, in the back, behind it. Trevor showed me that my property went back a lot further than I thought. You know, what do you guys have for zoning on the other side of the embankment where that monument place is? How is that zoning? The same? You know, because they did that. They used one for, it was commercial at one time, and then it's a residence. And
what's the purple color?
I don't know. I'm just curious. I mean,
that's highway business use, the gas station. So that's the Shell right there.
But from the ravine to the Shell, what are those?
Those are zone commercial.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Can I clarify something in your memo, Trevor? So if this goes forward, and this was referencing before, are the repairs that are being made such that Kevin's going to have to come to the Board of Appeals for a variance request because of the lot width? I thought that's how I read your memo. Is that correct?
So he's not adding on to the structure at all.
Okay.
As far as I know, he's doing routine maintenance projects.
Okay.
However, the rub is that it's currently being used as B residential, and that's what's the zoning is being sought for. And in our zoning code, you need 90 feet of lot frontage in order to have that zoning. So that's where we need to go to the Board of Appeals.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was assuming that there was going to be major repairs or something to the pump. Okay.
Are there multiple...
I did side... I mean, I painted it now, which I should have waited because of the road mess. And I did a roof, and I'm doing windows. And now, you know, all the landscaping in front got trashed, which I didn't know that, you know, because they took a wider area for the sidewalk. And all the gardens Charlie had put in, he did those voluntarily for beautification, free. He put raised beds in the perennials, like 3 years ago. Well, they trashed all that, digging all the stuff up, and they told me I have to repair it at my own cost. And they will, otherwise, they will come in the spring and smash it all smooth, take the rocks out, and they will put grass in there. Yeah, life's a party.
In the handout, you can see that that on the first picture, I believe the lot was 70 feet, and then the railroad or the construction, they took 10 feet. So now the lot is 60 feet
in the front.
That's that sliver, that triangle.
Yeah.
So I have a question about the process here. If we recommend approval, and the Board of Appeals denies a request for a variance, what does that do to the applicant, or what does that do to the process? Does it invalidate our approval?
Right.
Because we'd have it as it would be a condition.
Correct.
Yeah.
Trevor was really explicit with that, so I didn't have a false expectation. Although he was very generous to me to give you all the variables and the information, so I could not say enough. And this gentleman were in a meeting with me, and they were really cool about it. So even if I had to be disappointed, I'm unhappy about it. But I'm hoping people could at least look at it as an individual thing. But they were more than helpful, so I couldn't say a bad word there. Thank you.
Do you have sole occupancy of the property, or are you renting part of it?
I have a tenant upstairs.
You have a tenant.
And my partner rents for me also.
When you took occupancy of the home, were you made aware of the zoning at that time?
You know, here's the deal. I was so devastated then. My house got foreclosed. I didn't know where the hell I was going to go. And this person who was a family friend of mine was wealthy, and he was dying. And he said, go find something right away. And I found it because it was a two-family, and I never thought of it. And he bought it for cash from the foreclosure. And then he set it up in his trust that I only had to pay a portion of it. So I paid it off over 7 years, and now all of a sudden, I never even thought that this would be an issue. And I go to the bank, and I was like, huh? You know, I had no idea. So, no. And again, like I said, too, I mean, it probably would be... I can't see... What would you put in there, anyway? All three of them.
Is there any
opportunity... Huh?
I'm sorry. Is there any opportunity for him to access TIF funding to support the property in its current state until such time as ownership changes and it can be?
I guess it wouldn't be directly ruled out. That would have to be a board decision, though.
You mean a village board decision?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Sorry. Yeah.
I think there are a lot of, it just seems like there are a lot of obstacles to making this a residential occupancy. If it were possible to make it a, you know, some sort of mixed use type of thing.
What's it take to get a mixed use zoning in our zoning code? I mean, we've talked about that.
We'd have to have a...
might take like 5 years or something.
Hopefully it's not as bad as the sign community.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Drama. funny.
A mixed use, adding mixed use to our ordinance is one thing, but to have a building...
I'm zoning it for mixed use.
Well, and also to have a building, I know Mr. Service said that there has been some modifications to make it the building ADA compliant, so I guess I can't speak to this building, but that is something to consider when talking about rezoning the existing building to mixed use and having a commercial on one level and residential on the other. There are quite a few modifications that come along with that as far as the building code goes.
To go commercial, there's a lot of them now. With the ADA Act and everything, you know, you have to look at different heating, cooling, elevations on entrances, bathroom dimensions, door dimensions, everything.
Well, that depends on how the building is used.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I would think that, and like I said before, if we're going to look at a commercial development, that parcel most likely, unless things really change with the economy, wouldn't be targeted as a commercial development parcel. It'd be the aggregation of all those parcels, which the village is going to have to face eventually. You know, at some point, Schrader's Flowers might decide to not be located where they're located anymore. And not saying it's going to happen in the next 100 years, but it might, you know. So I think
they expand other areas anyways. You know, with greenhouses, he's buying lots like Black Creek and other things, so he has growing for him, you know.
Right. So that's why I, you know, when we talk about developing that lot as commercial, no, I don't think that lot's going to be developed by itself commercially. I think we have to almost assume that that whole area is going to be almost an infill brownfield development at some point, or greenfield. It's a nice area, so.
My personal feeling is that there are obstacles to rezoning it residential, but that we haven't really done all of our homework yet to find out what alternatives there are. Have you been working with just one bank?
No. Went to Johnson Bank where what happened is I went to a mortgage company and they said that after they did the Dobbs-Frank bill with the collapse financially, the issue is you can't do a loan to there because they can't do FHA, they can't do any of those because of the being commercial. So then they said they have to do that in-house. So all the mortgage lenders, I'm out. So then it has to go to a bank. And the banks say they can't because it's commercial. So if I do that, then I have to take out a commercial loan. And the other thing is, with the zoning the way it is, I have to pay over double the amount now for, they call it dwelling insurance. I can't buy, you know, homeowners insurance. So.
I'm not sure rezoning it will solve those problems.
Solve what problem?
Any of the problems you just brought up.
It certainly would for financing. And it would also give me an option that if I maintain an investment.
I think I'd rather see some correspondence from lenders that would justify the change. So, again, you know, if we make it residential, you're locked into a single family house on that parcel, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
so if you sell, for instance, if he sells the property,
it would stay that way.
Then he will he still be allowed to have a tenant?
Because it's an existing non-conforming use, as long as the use maintains the same for a period of 30 days. I believe it's 30 days, then yes, it could, even after it's sold, it could still be an upper lower duplex. But if both the lower floor and the upper floor remain vacant for any period of time, for over 30 days, then they'd have to revert to commercial use.
Can I point out one thing? I'm assuming this happened, but the property right on the other side of the ravine, next to the monument place, you know, someone owned that, and it's owned commercial, so I'm assuming when they had it for sale, they had a hard time selling it too. And I think now they're forced to like rent it. And I'll tell you, I don't want to offend anybody, but it's like white trash. 6-foot bonfires in the back at night, loud music, drunk tenants. Sorry, but they got a shed built in the back that is built out of plastic with conduit for a garage. Seriously, I mean, so if a person can't get rid of it, you know, I don't know what's going to be in there. I don't know who owns it. It's sad. It's just not very complimentary to what the neighborhood is going to be.
Okay.
Owner-occupied has its benefits, too. And like I said, Charlie, the ones next to me, that's why he likes me so much, because I take very good care of it. Like he does his two properties.
Does the property have to be... So, if it's owner-occupied right now, and it's non-conforming, but if Kevin were to move out and just rent it, would that be okay? Or would we then say, no, it's a commercial property, you can't rent it as a residential non-owner occupied?
I think it would technically still be okay. As long as it didn't sit vacant.
That's virtually unenforceable in a lot of situations because
you never know what's vacant.
Yeah. You almost have to self-report it.
Right.
I mean, if it was empty?
Yeah.
Well, like it was empty when I got it. I mean, for a while because it was in a foreclosure. I think it was over a year and a half. 2 years maybe.
So it looks like we missed that one.
Well, just, you know,
there you go. How enforceable it is.
Yeah.
Do credit unions look at loans differently? Have you gone to a credit
union? Not at
all.
They say
no.
I went to Johnson Bank. I went to Fox Community. Mm-hmm. I went to Harbor Credit Union.
Okay.
Where else did I go? I went to the mortgage guy in Walmart. He had a very cool store called. And basically, you know, that's the lending. It's supervised by the FDIC and whatever the credit union is. They have their own thing, too.
So what more are you... So you said you put the roof on, and you've already bought the windows.
Yep.
What else are you going to be doing that's going
to
require
financing?
Kind
of what?
Okay, so you want to put a driveway, and that's what will require the financing. And if you were to put a driveway, I mean, we wouldn't be able to grant a permit for to put it... Well...
We don't require a permit for a driveway.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay.
Do we require one?
No, we do not require it. As long as you're maintaining that.
I'm not looking to change it. Just want to replace it.
Okay.
I think we'd all like to help. You were just trying to figure out how.
Oh, I know.
It almost seems like we have a larger problem here than maybe aside from this discussion, but it's leading to other discussions. And how many properties do we have that are in this situation? It almost seems that we need to look at this whole issue.
Right. There are a number of these ones.
Is there a staff recommendation?
Well, the comprehensive plan doesn't specifically mention this parcel, but it does call for commercial in this area, so.
That's our guiding document.
Right.
It was zoned commercial prior to the transfer to Kevin? It's been zoned commercial.
I went back 10 years, I didn't find any change of zoning.
So it's been commercial.
As far as 10 years go.
As far as the precedent, I don't think you're going to get many people coming in wanting to switch a commercial property to residential. I think more the other way, but then you disrupt your tenants too. I mean, your owners. lot of people might not want someone saying, you know, running a business out of their house on a neighborhood block. But I'm just using two the way Charlie is.
Can we provide for temporary rezoning, such that if the ownership changes or if the building is demolished, it reverts back to commercial?
Trevor, you look hesitant.
That's a good question. I mean, currently if the building was demolished because it's an existing non-conforming, it would go to commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I don't know. That'd be a question I have to ask our attorney.
Because if it was left residential, if we rezoned it residential, then theoretically someone else could buy the property, tear it down, and apply for variances to put a single family home there or something, you know.
And that's highly unlikely anyone's going to want to do that.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Trevor, would they be able to do that? Because now you said the lot is not conforming with the frontage the way they did the bridge. So what would happen? I don't know.
Ray, if you wanted to, you wanted to rezone it back to single family, I mean, you're still limited by the frontage because the frontage is, for single family, is required to be 75 feet.
Well, we're talking about, you know, what happened. I mean, we know that this is going to be a non-conforming building,
right,
no matter what. So the issue is we change the zoning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Someone else buys the property, chooses to tear this building down. Looks like that the property is really deep, so they could easily do the 75-foot setback for a new park. New home.
Frontage. How wide the lot is.
Oh, yeah, but then, right, but we've got a residential zoning there, so, you know, they could seek a variance for that to build a new home. And based on the action of the, what's the committee that?
Board of
Appeals. Recent action by the Board of Appeals, they would grant something like that because of the restrictions on the property and the, you know, actions that have been taken beforehand. So so you would perpetuate, I mean, we would be more likely perpetuating the residential condition for that parcel rather than adhering to our comprehensive plan. I'd like to find a way to accommodate the current owner but not violate the comprehensive plan.
Right.
And if there were a way to temporarily zone it residential, then it seems like
that
might be a solution.
Yeah, because that wouldn't fix your problem either if you're trying to resell it. If you sold it to somebody new and it reverted back to commercial, then you're the person that bought it from you would be a commercial use, not a residential use. So I don't even know if that would work.
But our job is to preserve, you know, to defend the comprehensive plan. So,
and that's, I revert back to the same thing. It's certainly don't advocate punting to the Board of Appeals on anything. Especially when this is more of a policy type recommendation that we're about to provide versus a strict variance.
Go ahead.
I'm having trouble finding a reason not to, to recommend approval. All the items that have been brought up are, they're clearly obstacles, but they're not ones that we can solve in this in this forum tonight, and maybe by moving forward with it, they'll be brought to light and be solved going forward, you know, by the Board of Appeals. We can't guess what the Board of Appeals is going to do, and we can't second guess what's going to happen to the property if the applicant decides to sell it. And so I'm finding it hard to put a roadblock in his way just because we have a lot of options that might happen that are not so good, you know. And as far as its compliance with the comprehensive plan, I mean, we have to be a little flexible. I mean, it is a unique parcel, and it does have houses on one side of it, and it's a natural barrier with it with the tracks there, so it's not like it's kind of separated from whatever commercial might happen on the north side of the tracks. And it's true, Schrader's might move, but they're not going to move, you know, plural all around here probably. So again, I'm having trouble, in spite of all the issues, I'm having trouble not wanting to just move forward with the recommendation. It's just my thoughts at the present. I'm also not sure about the little 9 foot by 60 foot strip off of Kalb that's supposed to provide access to this property. According to the map, it only provides access through the first property. I'm not quite sure how you see the little yellow marking there. How do you get from the end of that 60 foot, you know, easement?
It's being used as a yard or something, because he told me about it, and I was like, oh my God. So I drove on Kelp, and I thought, I need to know it was mine or something. And I thought, I'm paying property taxes on it. Hello.
I asked Brown County about that, and they delve into a lot of records for me. And basically what it comes down to is, back in 1926, the property owner owned lot 11 there, also lot 7 and lot 14. They owned lot 11 first, then they bought 7 and 14. They wanted access to that property. They got an easement from Kalb, so they got an easement through 13 and 12, so they could have access from Kalb. And they sold 11 and wanted to maintain that access on Kalb, so they cut off a piece of that and maintain that. That easement still exists, so they can still go through the back behind those greenhouses there and get to lot 14, should the owner ever wish to do that.
So is it an easement, or is it a part of the property?
So that strip next to lot 11 is a piece of the property.
Okay.
There's an easement on the east side of 13 and 12, right behind those greenhouses.
Okay.
It connects to lot 14 there.
So it's just not yellow. You can go back
because
there?
It's not ownership. It's an easement through the property.
It's very confusing, and I'm glad Brown County did it.
So that yellow strip, that little yellow strip, belongs with that other piece of property.
Correct.
That's very bizarre. Yeah.
So legally, you're liable for upkeep and protection of that.
Well, actually, what would probably happen, honestly, because I have a lot of other real estate experience with this, what they could probably do is the current residents controlling the property. In essence, all they'd have to do is file an adverse possession claim, because they've used it and maintained restrictions by me, so I haven't impaired or controlled the usage. So normally they would just deed it right to them. I sure as hell don't want it. Like, I want another driveway.
Yeah.
I just want a residence.
So lots 8, 13, 9, and 12, those are commercial. And lots 10 and 11 that are on Kalb are residential.
Mm-hmm.
So we are talking about a property that is butted by commercial to the south by four lots, and then the railroad to the north, which is zoned just because it has to be zoned something, and it's zoned the most restrictive use, and it's never going to be developed. And then just to the north of that is more commercial. So I certainly could entertain a motion to kind of decide on this. I would kind of talked it to death a little bit, but I'm still under the, I'm still looking at the comprehensive plan more than anything.
My thought is to table this for a month and see if some of the potential solutions we've thought of tonight could be investigated.
Like the temporary zoning or the...
Either the temporary zoning or the, finding, see if TIF funding might be available to help. Because it's really an issue of making this property, a credit to the district. So
I would support that also, table.
So I guess you have a motion and a second.
There you go.
Okay, there's a motion and there's a second.
I would like next steps if we're tabling, so
yeah. So I think next step is actually determining whether or not a temporary zoning solution would satisfy Mr. Service, because first of all, what he's expressed is that he's not able to get reasonable financing, so it might solve that. But his second concern was, if he goes to sell it in the future, is he going to be able to sell it? And if we did a temporary zoning, that won't solve that. So we're going to have to make a decision on what's more important in order for something like that to happen. And then the TIF funding, we can see what how that bears out. So I guess those two specific, things is what staff can maybe work with Kevin on, if that's possible. Does that sound clear enough?
Can I bring up one question before you decide stuff? When you have a property like that, kind of sitting in residential, and it's commercial zone, what provisions, restrictions, guidelines are there for what kind of business you can run out of? It's village. Take the village, so.
Are you asking what kind of businesses you can run out of your current?
You can
work with Trevor on that. There's a whole list.
I'm not saying, could someone do something that you don't like? I don't know.
It's covered in the zoning code, so.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. All the uses. Okay. There's a motion and a second to table this with some specific action items.
Now, is that going to come back to Plan Commission then?
Yes.
At our next meeting, hopefully. I just don't like keeping them in the air.
Right. With tabling, there should be a specific timeline. So at the next meeting, we can do that.
Okay.
Is there any way that we can also get, going back to the thought of how many properties are similarly kind of hamstrung in this way, being primarily residential use but zoned, something that would be in conflict with that? I don't know how easy that is to go.
That might be a project.
I actually think a former intern did.
I would claim it as my own, Trevor.
Mr. Redflop, do you still want me to provide letters from lenders? I don't know if that's relevant, but I mean, seriously, that.
It would certainly help,
It would just show that being honest.
The hardship. It would show the hardship.
If it ever went to the Board's appeal, they'd like that. I'm sure.
Okay.
Actually, the real value of and correspondence from lenders would be, what would enable them to provide you with the sort of loan you want.
Ideally, it'd be nice to go to a mortgage company, because they sell them off on the afterwards.
We know that the blank, you need to find someone who's going to kind of dig into it a little more, because we know what the limitations are already. So, is there another mechanism they're aware of that they haven't told you about? So you kind of have to beat on them a little bit. So.
And maybe I'll tell them, put in a letter too, what they need it to be to make it lendable for me. They'll have their own jargon.
Okay. All those in favor of tabling, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. The item is tabled until our next meeting. Date to be determined, or do you have a date that we can read into the minutes?
November 28th.
November 28th is when this item will come back to us. hopefully with some more answers. I'm sure in the meantime you're going to be working with staff.
Okay, so one other question. Do I have to be here for that meeting? It's not that I don't care. I can provide the information before, but in my business, this is my getting to be my busy time of the year at night. It's my super busy time. So,
you know,
if it's really relevant, I'll come, but I've already given you kind of what you need from my end.
It's certainly relevant because we're talking about your property.
Could I go on, if you do it, could you do a later agenda, if possible, for me?
I could put it at the end.
We could go at the end.
What time do you guys usually go to?
We don't know. Yeah, really depends on what's on the agenda.
Yeah, I just don't have to come with the 5 o'clock.
We can figure that out.
All right. Then I'm done, right?
Yep,
thanks
you're good.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Nice meeting you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Moving on to item number 8, action regarding mutual accountability for plan commission recommendations. Trevor, is there something that you want to do a prelude or anything on this one?
We talked about this briefly at the last meeting, what's required for the planning commission, the village board, staff, and developers. We're going through the development process. Talked a little bit about the checklist that I had provided in your packet for site plan review and the planning district development. Both checklists were approved back in 2013 by the planning commission, taken directly from the requirements from the zoning ordinance. And we also talked about the village board having preview to the planning commission minutes prior to planning commission approval for development projects. And so I guess at the last meeting, it was left off that we would review the checklist and kind of and determine if there's anything in addition that we could do to help facilitate the process, and also if the planning commission is still okay with the village board receiving minutes prior to their approval for circumstances such as developments.
I said in the beginning that I'm fine with the board seeing the minutes, unless anybody else has issue with that. I mean, there's nothing, I don't think, I mean, grammatical errors maybe or something, but that's about it. Or soon. So it sounds like everybody's okay with that.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. See any risk. So that's one. And then you want to know other items to add to this checklist?
Right. This is what's currently required by zoning code. So, for instance, on the site plan review checklist, there's item number 15. Says other information not mentioned in the ordinance, but considered pertinent by both staff and or developers shall approve. That stuff is we're not really able to require, but we can also certainly request from the developer if they look into that information.
So items 1 through 14 on both lists are required items per ordinance, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the thing is that very often items on the list under 15 for both list of site plan review and PDD are issues that could weigh significantly in the discussion, and very often from what I've seen come before the commission in the past, a lot of this information is lacking, poorly represented, and it's just hard to make a decision because not enough information is there. It's almost as if we should see it, get a presentation, table it immediately so that we can all go look at the site, do whatever research we want over the time, because I don't believe we ever get the documentation in enough time before the meeting to be able to assess it appropriately before having to make a recommendation to the board. So that's my personal concern on this.
Haven't we had several occurrences recently where we just didn't have the information that was apparently required? I mean, maybe I'm mistaken, but you know, we'd have, you know, maps that didn't tell us which way north was, or maps that didn't have streets identified. Mm-hmm. And so I think one thing would just be to try harder to enforce the code that we do have, the requirement that we do ask for. I also think the first item on number 15, I know it's talked about not being, you know, required, but that first item, identification of adjacent properties with the 200 feet of all boundaries, you know, and depiction of structures in those properties. I think that's kind of critical to us to know how to view the request for a certain property as what's next to it, and rather than just a block on a map that says building or whatever. I don't know. I think that's almost something that you should try harder to get.
So, and to clarify, 15, we're requiring these things that are under 15. It's just they're not explicitly mentioned within the ordinance, but they...
We are asking for them.
Okay.
We have no authority to require them because it's not spelled out in the zoning code. So if these are things that you deem pertinent to the process, then that is something that we should amend our zoning code.
Have developers not given you this information? It says shall,
right,
not may. So that's why aren't we getting it? I'd hate to have to add something to the zoning code when it's pretty explicit in the checklist that they shall provide it. And then I also want to just clarify that, so when we're talking about site plan versus final, so if we approve the site plan, goes to the village board, it comes back to the plan commission for final approval, correct?
For site plan,
no. Oh, no, after, for the development itself. After site plan, then the village board, and then it comes back to the plan commission.
You're thinking the PDD process.
Okay, so then...
The site plan review is plan commission, reviews it, recognition, zoning's already in place.
So these are, okay, that's why it said plan development district on the last two checklists. That's why I thought that's what we were talking about. I'm sorry.
Right. And also to mention that the checklist for the site plan review and the checklist for the final plan development district are, I believe, exactly the same.
They're identical.
The requirements are the same. The first process, the preliminary PDD approval, is more or less, is this use okay? It's kind of like a rezone, in a sense.
Yeah. We got to get down to what our real problem is, because I'd hate to prolong a schedule.
Yes.
For someone that wants to develop. We want to be more streamlined versus being more bureaucratic. So it sounds like some of the we're not receiving all the information that we need.
What?
At the outset.
Well, I think that's very often the case, is that all of the information that's required isn't being provided, or it isn't in a form that we can effectively make an assessment of the conditions. So,
okay.
And then our... Does the village do reviews kind of back and forth with the owner prior to... it coming, that happens, right? Because we get a list of recommendations, but is that does that go through several iterations before we see it, or oftentimes no, they just make the recommendations, but before any of those changes get made, we still see it anyway?
A lot of times, at least recently, what's happened is we'll get recommendations and. If the changes are relatively minor, they don't resubmit new plans, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
And maybe that's the case. Maybe you require that in the future.
Yeah. That might be helpful. I know that many times when I'm submitting plans for development, I'll have to work through that, and it won't make it to Planning Commission. It won't make it onto the agenda until I've resolved a lot of those issues. So that might clear up a number of the issues with completeness or feeling like that there's just missing information.
How does staff feel about that? Do you feel that you currently have the ability to force that issue? As far as if there's changes, please make these changes, revise your plans, then bring them back, and then we'll bring it to the Plan Commission? Or has the direction been move it along, which there's merits on both sides? So, yeah, so I, you know.
Right.
I just from out of curiosity for the Plan Commission, what's been your direction in this scenario? Are you receiving direction to keep it moving, or are you receiving direction from the Village Board to keep pushing to get better plans, better submittals before it goes to Plan Commission?
The Plan Commission would see it before the Village Board.
Right.
Right. So the Village Board isn't giving directive prior to the Plan Commission seeing it.
It's a policy. It comes down to what documentation is going to be required before it would even go to a governing body, what stays at the staff level and for how long.
Mm-hmm.
So if the developer submits the directive of the community, maybe we want to accelerate development. So once he submits, you know, staff can make comments, but the plans proceed from the date of application and be on the Plan Commission for the next meeting, and then it proceeds. So we're not in a position to recommend we slow development process, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
That's more of a governance at the Village Board level. They'd need to decide that. Because some of the things that we're saying could delay it, and we meet once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So a month is a long time.
I think the other thing that would be handy is if staff would prepare a list of items where they're not meeting the zoning code, information, required information is not provided, so that we can read that before we can.
Maybe calling that out more to the public's attention, because a lot of that is usually provided in the packets. It's maybe not expressed at the meetings, but
right. And parking requirements should be right on the, you know, if they're missing, you know.
Usually if they meet the requirements, I don't even acknowledge that. You will usually call out information if they're not meeting the requirements. I guess in the future I can just have a checklist of everything, but zoning code is pretty extensive and there's a lot of things to look at.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times to meet. To me, it would just be like an informational rule if I had a list of 100 things and there's yes by 95 of them and no's by 5 of them. But again, my job is to make your job easier. You're the body that reviews these documents and forwards it along to the board forward with your recommendation. So however I can make your job easier, let me know.
Sounds like Roger's more interested in calling out the exceptions.
And Trevor, yeah, you've been doing that as far as I see.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just something that provides us with exceptions. Like these are the, because then we can decide, well, are these important exceptions? Is it important that we don't have this information? Or does, you know, rather than trying to discern them ourselves in conversation, if you start us off with that information, yeah, okay, fine, we don't have item 10. Maybe it doesn't matter. You know, we move on.
Yeah, we get lists of staff comments from the different departments. But I guess what I don't see is, you know, kind of the make or break comments isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And say these are required and are not provided in the submission. Or
so we're staying a little more direct or?
Yeah.
Summary of exceptions or most important comments. Yeah.
you know, and again, this, you know, we make a recommendation to the village board, and I'd like to be able to make effective recommendations that, where they don't have to ask a lot of questions that we've already gone through and asked and discussed, you know, that they're clear on how the recommendation will benefit the community, you know, to cut away a lot of the stuff that just hangs on so that, you know.
Is that helpful, Trevor?
Yeah, I guess you got direction on the minutes part. That's pretty clear.
Well, I think I have direction as far as what's required here. Maybe clearly spelling out what is actually required, what's a comment from staff, and mm-hmm. just
yeah, kind of
maybe
like
emphasizing that more at the meeting.
Taking it, yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, it's not for the purpose of being confrontational or to confront the applicant with, well, you didn't do this and that's a bad thing. It's just to decide what pieces of information are really important so we can do our job, you know, and then the village board can, it's easier for them to do theirs.
Right. Makes sense.
Okay. This is an action item, so.
It was an action item in case you want to take action, but if you're fine with direction, discussion, that's okay with me.
I just wanted to add, I think this checklist was recently made up, like in the last 5 years or so, because, yeah, before that there was nothing like that. You had to go through the zoning code. Okay. And I think Tracy Fuki, or Devin, is that correct?
Okay, I don't believe any action's required. I think the direction's there, so we'll just keep on improving.
Yeah.
Moving on to item number 9, discussion of bicycle and pedestrian plan. So Trevor and Roger, give us an update. And these are the comments that you left on the dais, right? To this plan?
Those were comments that I received from Roger this afternoon. So
okay.
I haven't had a chance to review all of them. Okay. So Roger, if you want to. Okay, what I can do, Roger, you can either.
Well, I don't know. The last month, we talked about the plan in general and its status, and it's continuing to go through an editing process, correct, Trevor?
Correct, yes.
So you're, you know, finalizing the text of the plan. There are some maps associated with the plan on reflecting existing and proposed new facilities, and that's really what we're looking at this evening. And the comments that I've made up, summarized today, relate to the maps themselves. It's divided up into two primary sections. Content and format. The content are comments on the types of facilities, locations of facilities, programs, physical development programs that I thought should be considered in the plan. And then on the second page, halfway down to format, just graphic representation in the maps. So you can look at that at your leisure, but the main issue is, for me, is, you know, it's the content covering everything that we, the content of the maps, the new facilities, the redevelopment of existing facilities, development of connectivity. Is that meeting what we had discussed in the ad hoc committee over the months that we met? So
I got a real quick one. So on figure 3-3, you show on Hoffman a dashed proposed bike lane, and then on map -1 it shows existing bicycle lane. There is a bicycle lane on Hoffman,
right?
So is there, what's the difference between 3-3 and map-1?
I didn't notice until this afternoon when I was looking through my packet. I had sticky notes on here indicating comprehensive plan and bicycle and pedestrian plan.
Got it.
And the red headers are the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
And so the green is the bicycle and pedestrian plan.
Got it.
The labels just, when they got scanned in, they turned out. So I guess the biggest difference between figure 3-3 and map 1 is St. Joseph. In the conference plan, it called for a bicycle route. And bicycle pedestrian plan, we're calling for a mixed-use trail and bike lane, and or a bike lane. Sounds like it might be a bike lane with a sidewalk, or a larger sidewalk. For Webster Avenue, there was no facilities plan in the comprehensive plan, but the ad hoc committee is calling for a bicycle lane on there. There's a few factors that went into that. Some of it being that it is a area arterial, so it does connect DePere Alley and Green Bay, and parts of DePere's reconstruction of Webster Avenue is going to include a bike lane, so it'd be nice to have that connectivity. But also, the Public Works Department did a quick field survey and did determine that there is enough room there with the existing right-of-way to have a bike lane. So that is a recommendation they have in there. They also have a recommendation for a bike lane on Riverside Drive, which is not in the comprehensive plan. Public Works Committee met last week, reviewed the same map, and they did say that the bicycle lane or bicycle facilities on Riverside Drive have already been submitted to the Federal Highway Department. And
well, you mean the lack of bicycle facilities has already been
submitted. Should have said. So that's something that the committee will have to, I guess, when they officially approve these maps, is vote whether or not they want to send these to the village board with the facilities shown or not. That'll have to be a committee decision. Knowing well that what is submitted to the Federal Highway Administration does not have facilities in those plans. Another change between the conference plan and the plan is libel. Conference plan calls for a bike route, whereas the plan is calling for a bike lane. A bike lane should be on all streets over 25 miles per hour and over annual average daily traffic of 3,000, which LIBEL means. But in addition to that, LIBEL is going to be reconstructed, I believe, in 2023. Don't quote me on that, but and we are receiving federal funding for that, so as part of the Complete Streets program, so that will, that's already pretty much decided that there will be the bike lanes on my wall. East River, the committee originally had it as a bike lane, or as bike route, as shown in our comprehensive plan, but because it did not have the entire length over 3,000 annual average daily traffic. However, Public Works reviewed it and said, well, there's enough right-of-way there and right-of-way, and why not have a bike lane? So the committee went forward with that. Another thing that's not shown on the comprehensive plan map is Briar Lane. That was another Public Works addition. I said, why not? There's Briar Lane connects the Riverside Drive to East River Drive. So why not have a bike route on there? So that's more signage. It's not street markings or anything. That's pretty much it. I guess there is also a bike route shown on Taft and a bike route for Garland and Derby as well, which we're not in the comprehensive plan. And then just moving on to the next one, the pedestrian facilities. There are quite a few changes from the comprehensive plan to what is shown in the bike and ped discussion map right now. Excuse me. Might not be very clear in your handout, and it's not showing up the clearest on the screen there, but the recommended facilities that we had in the map, Public Works Department went through and gave their comments on how it fits with the five-year reconstruction plan. So you'll notice how there are different colors in the legend. Red and yellow are proposed sidewalks. Straight red is existing sidewalks. Blue is what the Public Works feels like they could do within their operating budget every year. And then purple is future consideration. And future consideration means all the other facilities will probably get done within the next 15 years. Future consideration, those roads have been reconstructed already recently, so it's going to be difficult to put facilities on those roads, either from an engineering standpoint or from a cost standpoint. When you're talking about sidewalks and relative to a complete road reconstruction project, you're not talking relatively about a lot of money. However, when you're talking about just putting in a sidewalk by itself, it seems like a lot of money. So it's easier to do sidewalks when they're married with a road reconstruction project. There's also there's quite a few differences. We're showing a sidewalk on Derby to work from the north south. I'll go through some of the main differences. The current plan is shown for a sidewalk on the north side of Derby, connecting some pieces on McCormick Street, because right now it's currently fragmented. Filling in the gaps on Lionel. Again, St. Joseph Street, Riverside Drive, there's sidewalks on there. the end of Blackhawk here, connecting to East River. There's currently existing sidewalks there, and so Public Works said in their operating budget they could just make that connection to East River Drive. On Broadview, we're calling for sidewalks on both sides, the entire length. Between Webster and Libel, I believe it's already in the comprehensive plan. No, it's not. But however, there's quite a bit of traffic there with that school there too. So we felt like that's necessary. And then from East River to Libel on Broadview, there's the fields there, and on game days and everything, there's a lot of park traffic. So it'd be helpful to have sidewalks on both sides there. Comprehensive plan shows on East River Drive between Broadview and Hoffman, sidewalks on both sides. However, the committee and Public Works thought maybe just sidewalks on the west side would make sense, with a small section of sidewalk extending the length of the commercial development there, where Village Grill is and everything. And then I guess there's two more here that I just want to point out. Public Works actually said, well, there's an opportunity for a sidewalk on Rose Lawn. So the committee obviously accepted that recommendation. And then we're showing the future trail along with Brun, which is part of the agreement we had with the pier, that the pier would help pay for that trail in the future. That came along with the acquisition of that small piece of land on the Brun from the pier. So I didn't mean to go through them real fast, but if you have any questions or comments you want me to relay to the ad hoc committee, we are meeting next Thursday, and this certainly, I do not plan this being your final time seeing this document. Certainly when the text is done, we'll want Public Airplane Commission's comments on that as well. But I just thought it would be nice to have the conversation start earlier and be ongoing.
I just have a comment on the proposed bike lane on West Briar, on
sure.
Briar in general.
Sure.
I live on Briar on the river side of it, so it would be the west side of Riverside Drive, and there is no public access to the trail at all on that end of West Briar Lane. So if there would be bike lanes added and people are traveling down to rivers, you know, to try and get onto trail access, there is no public access at all on that end of West Briar. So they have to either go down to Fox Point Landing or up around with the Sunset Park and go around that way. So it could be confusing, I guess, for bikers that are traveling down Briar and then they get there and they can't get onto the trail at all. So.
That's a very good point.
Plus, Briar has those weird kind of bump outs between Riverside and Webster on the roads. I'm not really sure what they're technically called, but.
Yeah. If I could add to what you were saying on West Briar, there was some signage that we put up that most people don't even see it.
Yeah, they're small, and so there's a duplex that runs up along the property there, and people assume that they can get through, so they go. I mean, I overlook that property where I live, and the people in that duplex come out and they yell at anyone. So it's not a pretty situation when people do try and, you know, go through their property, and I don't blame them. It's people going through their property, but.
And some of the landscaping that was done in Sunset Park.
Yeah, which there's a
nice. To help block people from cutting through.
Right.
So, and that's nice, because we see people use that a lot, but we still see, like, I mean, in the summertime, probably a dozen people a day, if not more, get down Briar, and then realize they can't go anywhere, so then they try, they sneak across the property, and then they get yelled at, so.
That's a very good point.
Easement.
Right. I mean, you see that all up and down the Fox River Trail. There's a lot of, there's a lack of public connections on the Fox River Trail, but especially in your area where there's the dense high-density development there.
Yeah. Yeah, and the apartment complex that sits on the river, there is no access even for residents to the trail at all. So you think, I mean, that would just be a smart decision for the complex, you think, to put an access there, but they don't put one there at all, so.
Okay. Any other comments? Again, we're going to see this again, but looks like Jim's got some comments. I'll entertain a motion to open up the session.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was co-chairman of the bike ped committee for a while, and I did notice that if I had to pick just one site that needs attention, it is the Taft Street neighborhood, which is park-starved. I brought it up at the Parks Committee meeting today. The Public Works Department has approved a walking trail along the the stormwater detention pond in front of the of the reformatory, but there's no way to get across there, and there's no way for the people on Taft Street and in the Taft Street neighborhood to get over to that park. So that's an underutilized state park that really should be fully utilized. It's wonderfully landscaped now. It's absolutely a wonderful property. Brad did a great job on that, working with the parks, working with the Public Works Department, but now people need access to that trail so that they can get to the Fox River Trail. So the sidewalk on Taft Street, which was relocated to Roselawn, I don't think that that's a good idea, that at least a short walk from Link to Riverside Drive is appropriate so people in that neighborhood can safely get to Riverside and then get to the state park, which is across the street, and that does have a public access to the Fox River Trail. And then finally, in order for the Fox River Trail to survive, people need to purchase trail passes, and the only reason they're going to purchase trail passes is if they like to use it and they can get there on a regular basis. So, you know, it's something that needs to be done, looked at, that just the Taft Street sidewalk should not have been moved over to Roselawn. The Taft Street sidewalk should just be a short sidewalk between Link and Riverside, and then there needs to be a crossing there. Thanks.
Okay. Entertain a motion to return to regular session.
Mm-hmm. Second.
All right, we're back in regular session. Okay, looks like Taft is on the future consideration for sidewalk. Was it recently repaved?
Right. Yeah. Right. I think that one was engineering, you know.
Okay.
They would have had to adjust the roadway.
So the solve is between Link and the trail, if you want to take a look at that again.
Right. Maybe that's something that they can address in the operating budget or something.
Okay. Any other discussion on the bicycle and pedestrian plan? It looks really good. A lot of work, yeah.
So once this is adopted, would we just replace figures 3.3 and 3.4 in the comprehensive plan with the updated?
That's what I would recommend, yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Good work. All right. No other discussion on that. We'll move on to item number 10, discussion of village-owned properties for sale. There wasn't a memo that I saw. Just an update on the status of the properties for sale? Or?
Right, yeah, this was more just to bring it to the attention of the commission that currently the village has three properties that we look forward to indicate they're actively selling. The first one is the one on Webster, the old village hall site. Still no movement on that. The next one would be the pump house on Green Avenue. Waiting to get an appraisal back. Should have that sometime early next month before we can set a price.
By the fourth.
And then the third one is on Riverside Drive, the old Town and Country Club site, the site that Nick our greenhouse was looking at. So, I guess it was more or less just to bring it to the attention of the Planning Commission. We're looking at ways to promote it on our website.
Zone commercial?
One on Riverside Drive is zone commercial. The pump house on Green Avenue in the Village Hall site.
Residential.
Are government owned.
Okay. Okay. Great. Any questions on that? Okay. Oh, I don't know. We'll keep it going.
There's two offers on the pump house at the full asking price. So they have two offers. And they've been sitting there for 2 months.
All right. I guess you'll do what you're going to do with those offers. Moving on to item number 11, update on zoning code process. Is this an update on where the budget meetings have gone with it, or...
Right, I wasn't sure at the time the agenda went out if we'd have an update, but the board is meeting again tomorrow night and discussing everything. I did have a follow-up conversation with Becky Roberts from UW Extension, and she passed along some information that UW-Madison typically does a project every year, zoning-related. They don't do a complete zoning rewrite, but they might be able to assist us in some way, so I am looking forward to investigating that further.
Okay. Item number 12, Board of Appeals update from October 10th, 2016. Is this something we're going to always have in the agenda? Is it just an update on what was variances
right,
approved?
This
or?
Is something
okay.
I believe Roger requested last
Yeah,
time.
Okay.
And,
good deal.
Quickly pull it up. Wes, I don't know if you want to give an update. I wasn't at the actual meeting.
Yeah, I can certainly do that. I just didn't know the exact address. I can't remember from
right. And I have it.
When that was.
I did have it up.
Delay of game.
12:30, Goodell.
Okay. So in a nutshell, we had some issues with the length and width of that parcel. The fella bought it from the parcel that's just to the north. So that shaded yellow is the parcel we're talking about. The parcel just to the north of that, the one Trevor's hovering over right now, that yellow shaded area used to belong to that homeowner, and he used it as a backyard. He sold it to the gentleman that purchased 1230 Goodell, and that gentleman's parents live just to the south of him in the other parcel, and he is planning on building a single-family home. A variance was granted to allow him to do that, given the character of the neighborhood, particular hardship of him having purchased that property and then learning later on that he would require a variance in order to build. And the Board of Appeals opinion that neighborhood was always going to have. What was that width again on the frontage that we were discussing? 70. It was 70 feet, yeah.
75. It was required today, and this was 50.
Yeah, and this was 50, oh right. And so the properties along there, if you look at the parcels to the south, those were all 50-foot width frontages. And we didn't... We couldn't see that neighborhood changing, so it just... It made sense to allow the variance so the gentleman could build his home next to his parents. And the homeowner that sold it to him, that lives in Green Bay to the north, was here also, and the alternative was he would buy it back if we didn't get the variance. But, I mean, you know.
That's pretty generous.
Yeah, that's what he told me outside. I was like, oh, well, I'm glad that didn't have to happen. I mean, it was all good faith. Nobody was trying to... Their assumption was, since every other lot was a 50-foot width, that,
right.
You know, why would there be that restriction? So, just another case of some non-conforming uses, trying to fit them into our zoning.
In addition to that, I can email this to everyone. This was something that Wes had asked me to do a while back, so... All the Board of Appeals decisions up until January 1 of this year. So a lot of it has to do with setbacks.
Pretty gracious.
Side yard setbacks or front yard setbacks for like porches or wheelchair ramps, which now the ADA laws being what they are, a lot of the things that people sought a Board of Appeals decision for in the past, now you can get pretty readily now going through that process. But, so I can email this to you and you take a look at it.
Yeah, if you scroll down, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of variances or, I guess, appeal decisions.
Right. The most recent one was that I have here. I think there was one other one this spring, maybe. But one from November of last year was that River Lane property that the Planning Commission reviewed with the vacating of the property from the village.
Right. For the right of way.
Oh, right. Okay.
There's really only one that we might regret a little bit, and that was that fence variance for the daycare. Constructed a fence that's different than what was presented at the meeting. So that's kind of one of those catches. But okay. Thank you, Trevor. Any questions on that? It's a good idea to continue to do this so we can see what happens there. Moving on to item number 13, next meeting date and agenda items. So we have that a tabled item. And the next meeting is 11/28. So that would be the Monday after Thanksgiving. Okay, the Monday after. Good.
Right. So I don't know if you guys want to continue with that.
I'm fine with that. Is everybody else okay?
Yeah. Well, Penny might not be back from deer hunting, but.
Okay. Great. So we got that one tabled item, the rezoning of the parcel. Was there anything else? The bike ped plan will probably be back on again. I would assume there's going to be another meeting. Update on zoning code process. That's probably a good idea since you guys are having your budget meetings right now. So let's keep that on there for the next meeting. If there's a Board of Appeals update, we can have that. Is there anything else that anybody would like to see?
There also, we received a letter in the mail yesterday or Friday. And... it's a letter from the state. It's a request for hazards identification. Basically, what's going on is I believe Windermere is being sold or being bought. And part of the review process is they asked the village for any input if we know of any hazards for that location for those types of CBR facilities before they're sold. It's an action that we're required to take within 30 days. So if the Planning Commission had any hazards that they're aware of, otherwise we can just take no action.
Where is this?
Windermere. It's just south. It's on Riverside Drive. It's CBRF. It's just south of. Yeah.
Oh.
They were going to do an expansion at one time, like brought some stuff forward to fill in that little spot in, a couple of years ago.
Right.
Next to the veterinary clinic there.
Well, what is the characteristic of hazards that there is?
It doesn't say, and because we received this just recently, I haven't had a chance to investigate what that exactly means. But it is something that if...
And the main hazard there is that there's no pedestrian access to or from the facility, right? Is there a sidewalk or... But if there is a sidewalk, it doesn't really connect to anything. It's cut off by 172.
It's a gated community because it has a lot of patients with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Right, but if someone, a family member, wanted to visit but did not have a car, had to take a bus, how would they get there? That's a hazard. Mm-hmm. So, so those limitations of access, I think, are worthwhile identifying.
I guess I'll forward this, because I've never received this before, so I'm not exactly sure of the proper protocol, but I'll forward this to the Planning Commission. You can, there's not a lot of information here, but you can review it. And if you have time, maybe stop by the site, and if you feel like there's a meeting, we need a special meeting or something, it would have to be prior to November 18th. I guess that would be the appropriate protocol.
Maybe definition of hazard. I mean, they're looking for underground tanks, or what are they looking for? Sidewalk disconnects, or
I can look into that.
Yeah. Uneven
sidewalks. Yeah, uneven sidewalks. Yeah. Okay. Okay, great. If there's nothing else, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.
Got my cap on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the street. I threw my cap at you.
No.
Thank you.
But if there are any of these facilities,